If you have your Bible, why don't you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 8. And it reads from the ESV, "These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah opposite Saf, between Param and Tophel, Laban, Hazaroth, and Dizahab. It's a 11-day journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the people of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. After he had defeated Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth, in the Edrei. Beyond the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to explain this law, saying, 'The Lord our God said to us in Horeb, you have stayed long enough in this mountain. Turn and take your journey to go to the hill country of the Amorites, to all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country, and in the lowland of the Negev, and by the sea coast, the land of the Canaanites, and Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them and their offsprings after them.'" Amen. This morning, my message is simple. It's time to move. Amen. It's time to move. This passage we've just read actually is an introduction to the whole book of Deuteronomy. And it gives a bit of history as to why Moses on this very day is preaching to the people of Israel about what God has in store for them. And he laid up a bit of history. And this history has got three components that I want us to look at this morning. Remember, the people of God, the Israelites, were in bondage in Egypt. And God, through his mighty acts, was able to deliver them and says, "I've set before you, there's a land that I promised your ancestors. I promised Isaac and Jacob, go and take possession of it," and God moved them on. Now, during this time, a lot of things happen on the way. And so this morning, as we read this passage, Moses is trying to remind them of some things that have taken place in this time. It has been 40 years when God told them that you need to move from Horeb to the country I have set for you, the promise that I have for you. Brothers and sisters, as we look back into this, remember one thing, that God in his hand, in his mighty hand, led the people out of Egypt. And it's possible that there are some people sitting here. You are still in Egypt. Meaning that you haven't as yet given your life to the Lord Jesus, and so you are in bondage. And God is saying this morning to you, "I love you, and I sent my own son Jesus, that you will be delivered from this bondage." And when the word of God in John chapter 3 verse 16 that we normally read that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life," God did it for you. And so, Moses draw attention to these three things that I want to mention and look out for. If you forget everything about the names and all that has been mentioned here, don't forget in verse 2, where it says, it is 11 days' journey from Horeb to by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is a key word, a key place in scripture that Israel will never forget. Because it was that place that Moses sent spies. It's the border between the wilderness and the promised land, where Moses sent spies to go and see what is in there. And a number of things happened. So that is the number one, the key thing that Moses is reminding the Israelites about. The second thing that Moses on this day is reminding the Israelites about is the defeat of the two Amorite kings, Sihon and Og. That defeat was a victory for them to be able enter the promised land. And so he refers to that. And then the third point, the third thing is what God told them when they were still in Horeb. And that is in verse 6. And we will look at that. So this morning, there are three things I want us to look at as we look into Moses preaching to the people of Israel before they enter this promised land. Moses, at this time, according to some theologians and biblical scholars, had only 2 months to live. Because God told them, because of what had happened on the way, God told Moses, you will see the land, but you will not get there. And now they are in the borders, they are just about to enter. And so Moses takes the opportunity to remember the people of God, what has happened and where they are going. There are times some of us, even as Christians, we don't look back to see what has happened to help us move on to where we're going. The Lord allows certain things to happen in our lives that, as we will see later, we can learn lessons from to help us move on in the Lord. And so Moses has all the Israelites before them, and he is reminding them about these things. Now, a journey that should have taken, according to some scholars, 40 days had taken 40 years. And so out of all these, the people of Israel need to learn a lesson before they get there. And so, number one, the first point or the first issue I want us, the key issue I want us to address is what happened in Kadesh Barnea. And as I told you, Moses had sent spies. In fact, he picked the 12 tribes, each person, and told them to go and see how the land is like. And these people went and spied the land to a point that they saw huge fruit, grapes. And as I was reading this, I've never heard grapes, a bunch of grape that two people had to carry, two strong men. You know, these days we are not strong enough because the food we eat doesn't have the necessary nutrients to carry us. As it was at those days, there were no chemicals and things like that. So when people are strong, they are strong. Amen. And these strong two people had to carry a bunch, just one bunch of grapes. Can you imagine that? And that was the land God had promised them. But you know, something unfortunate happened. In that, when these people went there, apart from 12 of them, 10 gave false alarm about the place God is giving them. False alarm. I don't have time to go into the details of it, but the point is, this brought problem into the camp of Israel. This brought problems to even Moses himself and to the people there. I just want to read later in Numbers 13 is when the whole issue took place. But later in chapter 32 of Numbers, Moses, something happened, and Moses had to recollect this again. And that's why this morning, in the passage we are reading, Moses is reminding the people. If we get into Numbers 32, let me just read it quickly. This is when they were about to go into the, after they had defeated the two kings, Shinar and Og, and some of the tribes, because they had a lot of livestock, they asked them to remain, they requested that they remain there. Then Moses is reminding them about Kadesh Barnea, what took place there. So in Numbers 32, verse 6 says, Moses reminded the people about this. He said, Moses said to the people of Gad and the people of Reuben, those who were requesting that they be given the land so that they don't go with their people. He said to them, shall your brothers go to war while you stay here? Why would you discourage the heart of the people of Israel from going over the land that the Lord has given them? Your father did this. When I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land, for when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the people of Israel from going into the land that the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled on that day. And he swore, saying, surely none of the men who came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upwards shall see the land I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, not except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kizanite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And behold, you have risen. You have risen in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel. For if you turn away from following him, he will again abandon them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all the people. Israel's unbelief in Kadesh Barnea led to them going in circles for 40 years. And so on this day that Moses is preaching to them and encouraging them to take hold of the land, he had to remind them about Kadesh Barnea, because there, they didn't listen to the voice of God. Brothers and sisters, as the Lord leads us, as the Lord leads his people, it comes to a point where their voice is all over. A lot of voice is over. And even today, there are a lot of voices suggesting so many things. But Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Even as we sit here, we know the voice of God. Many a times we know when God is speaking, and we know when the evil one is speaking. And yet, the people of Israel decided not to obey God, not to listen to the voice of God. And so on this day, Moses is reminding them, this is a new generation that has come. This is a new generation that were 20 years or below when they left Egypt. And God is taking them to take possession of the land. And Moses had to remind them that they are in the same point again. Would they do as their fathers did? Or would they listen to the voice of God? Brothers and sisters, God has so much for us. And the evil one is not happy that we will receive from the Lord. And he will do everything to move us away from God. But we must always listen, that God has the best of our interests at heart. And he has the best for us. And so, we should not listen. So that's the reason why, on this day, Moses is trying to remind the new generation about Kadesh Barnea, that they do not go there. When you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Jesus. Can you imagine that? When these people were moving all the way from Egypt into the land, Cana, Jesus was with them. And today, and he was with them spiritually, but today he is with us. He has come and defeated the evil one, and he is taking us on. Nevertheless, the Bible says, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, and it is written, the people sat down to eat and drank and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 of them fell dead one day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. So, brothers and sisters, these are lessons, and exactly what Moses is trying to do for that generation, that you remember these things. And if you remember them, they will help you. Brothers and sisters, we are here today because Jesus did it on the cross for us. And we need to listen to him even as we move forward. And so, Moses is reminding them about Kadesh Barnea because things didn't go right. Brothers and sisters, there are times things will not go right, but we need to turn to God. Most of us, when things are not going right, that is the time that we run away from God. That is the time that we look for excuses not to be closer to God. But that's the time that we most really need God. I don't know your situation today. I don't know what you are going through. But remember Kadesh Barnea. We don't want to go back there. We want to move with the Lord. And then, again, Moses is reminding them about their victory over Sihon and Og. This is a key moment because the land, I was trying to look for a map, which I couldn't get it well. You see, Israel could have walked straight to the promised land, but now they had to go down to the east and come from the east to the west to cross the Jordan to come back. Can you see? They went in circle to come back to where? It could have been a straight journey, but it never happened because of this issue. And now, just before they entered and crossed the Jordan, these two Amorite kings were powerful because they had defeated the countries there. And Moses and his people just wanted a way out, just to go through the land. And when we read, let me read from Numbers chapter 21. Verse 21, Numbers 21, 21. The Bible says, then Israel sent messages to Sihon, king of Amorites, saying, let us pass through your land. We will not turn aside to the field or vineyard. We will not drink the water from your wells. We will go by the king's highway until we pass through your territory. But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. He gathered all his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness and came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Verse 24 says, and Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of the land from Ammon to Jabbok, as far as the Ammonites, for the border of the Ammonites was strong. And Israel took all these cities And Israel settled in all the cities of the Ammonites, in Heshbon and in its villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Ammonites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and taken all his land from their hands, as far as Arnon. So you see, God is an amazing God. We just want to pass through your land and go to what God is giving us. There's no way we can get there. We have to pass through. We are not going to eat your food. We are not going to drink your water. Just give us a way. There's a highway. Everybody can pass through this highway. The king says, no. Rather, he mobilizes his forces to attack the people of God, and God gives them the land. Brothers and sisters, your enemy will come in one direction, but they will scatter in seven directions. Amen. There are times when people will go against you, but as long as you know you are with your God and you are doing the right thing, I know the Lord will make a way. I know the Lord will make a way. If I live rightly, I shun the wrong and do the right, the Lord will make a way. I don't know what problems you are going through. People may accuse you. People may say all sorts of things because you are a Christian. But trust in the Lord. He will deliver you. He will fight your battle for you. And that's what Moses is reminding the people, that our God will fight the battle for us. The Lord is on our side. He is on our side. No matter what you are going through, he will deliver you. And so he's reminding them to say, just trust in him. Just trust in him. Just trust in him as we move into the new land. Don't do the things that your fathers did. Don't do that. A number of us come from families, and we know what happens in these families. Some of our family members worship idols and did all sorts of things in dodgy businesses and all, and we know what happened to them. And yet sometimes the devil wants to remind us to go back there. You know that witch doctor that stays there, you know how many of your family members have died there. And yet the devil reminds you, oh, don't go to church, just go there. Brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord. And he will bless you. And that's what he's reminding his people this morning. Don't go back to Kadesh Barnea. Trust in the Lord who fights for you. He fights for you. Even as today, the Bible in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that's an encouragement that we need. That's exactly what our brother Moses was trying to tell the people of Israel this morning. And so having said this, having given this history of just two things. Remember, Moses is not talking about every event that happened in the 40 years. But these two things are key. And that's why they are mentioned in this passage. And having reminded them, he now goes back to say in verse 6 that the Lord, our God, said to us in Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. It's time to move. You've stayed long enough here. It's time to move. And that's what God said to them in Horeb. And so Moses now is reminding the people of God that don't forget, God told us to leave. And even as we are here this morning, I think God is saying the same thing to us. That it's time to move. And I want to spend a bit of time here as well to let us look at some of the things that were happening. Horeb is a mountainous place. I was asking somebody, where is Drakensberg? If somebody asked you, go to Drakensberg, where would you go? You know the berg. They always say the berg. I'm going to the berg, the berg. Where is the berg? Where do you go? There was a time I was in Bergville, and someone said, let's go to the Berg. I said, here too. We go to the Berg here. And they took us to a place called Cathedral Peak or somewhere. That's the berg. That's not the only berg, is it? So when the Bible talks about Horeb, it's a range of mountains. It's a place. It's a big place. But the people of Israel were tarrying, even though they had access to the whole range. They could go to many other places, the berg, anyhow, whichever way, as we say. But they had a place called Sinai, Mount Sinai. That's where they had their home. And so sometimes these two words are interchangeable, Horeb and Sinai. It's just like saying, I'm going to the berg. Meanwhile, you know you are going to Cathedral Peak. That's where you're going. That's where. That's exact point. It's one of the peaks that this Horeb range of mountains had. And they were enjoying the place. They've been in the place. And I just want us to see how Moses is bringing out things here. How he's preaching to the people. The first thing he says is that. Verse 6. People, remember. The Lord, our God, said to us. The Lord, our God. Amen. The Lord, that's the key thing. Moses is not saying, the Lord, my God. But he says, the Lord, our God. Amen. He is the one who delivered us. The God who took us from Egypt. He told us. And he's reminding them, Yahweh, the Almighty God. We were singing about how God created the whole universe. The one who is in charge. He is the one who spoke to us. There are times we forget about who our God is. He's not a God with this sheepskin or goat skin. No. If your God is the one with the goat skin, you are in trouble. Because the goat died long time ago. It's not a God who has got a tree somewhere, or a stone, or anything. He is the Almighty God, the one who created everything. And he says, I knew you even before you were born. I knew you. He knows everything about you. He is the one that we believe in. There are times as Christians, we don't know our God. So Moses is reminding the people, remember our God said to us, he chose us. He chose us. And in fact, in the whole Bible, especially the prophet, they kept reminding the people of God all the time that they are not their own, they were chosen people. Isaiah says in Isaiah 41, and I want to read it. Isaiah 41 verse 8 says, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Amen. That's our God. That is the God. Not the God of the Amorites or the Philistines. Or, you see, every God has a limit. They will go and at a certain point they begin to blame you and say, it's because you didn't come in time. It's because you ate something yesterday. That's why it's not working. Our God is not a limited God. He created everything. And we must know that is the God we are serving. It's not Benson Orchard God. It's not Craig Bota God. It's not any of the elders God. It's the God Almighty. The one who created everything. Is it the one you put your faith in? Is it the one that you have come to serve? Then you are in the right place. So he needed to remind them that it's our God. Have you forgotten what he did with his mighty hands in Egypt? Brothers, it's by God's grace we are here. Some of us would have died long time ago. I remember when I was a child one time, I liked using things with my hand. So I would go and get, there's something called raffia palm. You get them and you can weave and make cages for beds and things like that. And they normally grow in a swampy place. Anytime I think of this, I just say, God, you love your child. You love your people. And so I went and climbed this thing to the top there. And as I was just about to take hold of this thing, I saw a snake coiled like this. The only thing I could think of is, boy, let go your hand. And this thing is higher up. I mean, about twice this ceiling thing there, up there. I just let go. And I came straight in the swamps. Swamps are mushy, you know, muddy type. You see, some rivers, when they flood, they make the place a bit muddy. And then, you know, it dries up a little bit. And I came straight in there. Up to here, I'm locked up there. And I can't get out. And I'm saying to myself, if this thing should follow me up there, I'm a big meat. Big meat. And I was alone. A young boy sitting there and struggling to get out of this thing. And for I don't know how many minutes. And when I remember this, I said, Lord, I would have died that day. If this thing just hit me and now I'm stuck in there with the poison in me, gone. All of us will come up with one point and you will realize if it wasn't for the Lord, you wouldn't be here. There are times we make so much noise, as if we own everything, as if we are somebody. We are nobody. God is in charge. And he says, I chose you. I chose you. I chose you. He knew you even before you were born. And we should give him all the honor and praise and adoration day by day. And I like it when our brother Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 is reminding us about the same thing, about us, those of us who are Christians. He says, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 and 10. And he's referring to us as Christians together. But he says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Brothers, this is what the Lord has done for us. Unless maybe you are here, but you don't know this Jesus. You see, as a pastor, it comes to a point where you break down because you're not sure. The word of God says, it's only the Lord who knows those who are his. It's only the Lord who knows those who are his. And the Bible says, on that day, many will say to me, oh, Lord, Lord, did I not do this, prophesy, do this and that? And they say, I never knew you. Why? Because these people, even though they were going to church, they never came to that point where they say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need you. As simple as that. As simple as that. You know what? The most important things, the most expensive things in life are free of charge. Anything that is so expensive you can't buy is given to you free. And I always tell people that way. I did a bit of mathematics and chemistry, so I love analyzing things. You see, food and water, you realize that I can live maybe up to 40 days, probably. Some of us may go, well, maybe 20, but a human being can survive. Jesus showed us an example, 40 days without food. You may live up to 40 days without food. When it comes to water, maybe one week. I don't know. I haven't heard about 2 weeks yet. 2 weeks. So you can see, water is more essential. Because if you don't get it, you die quicker than food, isn't it? But which of the two is more expensive? The one that is not that important is more expensive. Now, compare water and air. Compare water and air. If somebody says, I'm taking air away from you and water away from you, which of the two would you allow the person to take away from you? Water. Water and air, which one is expensive? What happens to air? Free. So you see, the most important things in life are free of charge. So is salvation. If a pastor says, tells you, if the pastor tells you, amen. If a pastor should tell you, come to Jesus and pay 20 rand, shoot that pastor. And God will set you free. Freely, freely you have received, freely you give. And yet, people sit in churches without going and giving their life to Jesus. Maybe you are sitting here this morning. It's never too late for you. It's not about how many times you come to church. Have you known the one who died for you? So that you too can say, our Lord said to us. Moses is reminding them. The one who died, the one who saved us, is our God. And this morning, you need to be sure to say, Lord, you are my God. I'm praying, God, that at the end of this service, if you are here and you don't know Jesus, you just come here and say, Lord, I need you. Because sin will take you to hell. That's what the Bible says. Sin will not take you anywhere. But the gift of God is eternal life. And if you come and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done, he will forgive you and set you free. Amen. And so having said that, our God, the one who loves us, the one who died for us, the one who is with us, said to us, and what did he say? He said to us, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. You have stayed. Look at God coming to say, I gave you some, you know, freebie, but you've taken too much. I gave you a 2-week stay in my, you know, hotel, but you've taken too much. You've overstayed. It's time to move. Brothers, I think I'm praying, God, that we don't have to come to that point where God will say, my people, you've overstayed. Move on. And that's what we do. That's what we do. They came to this mountain. And a number of things happened in this mountain. Some were good, some were not so good. When they came to this mountain, it is there that they received the law from God. In fact, it's the first time that even Moses had to select leaders for them. And God was able to even bless the priests among them as well. They had a covenant with God on this mountain. If you read Exodus chapter 19, when God talks about how they, when they came there, and you compare it with Numbers chapter 10, you see that they stayed in Horeb or Sinai for about 1 year, a whole year. People who are going to a promised land, for a whole year, they were settled around the mountain. They became so comfortable in that mountain. Because the clouds will come, the pillar of cloud and fire will come. They saw all these things. They saw what God was doing. In fact, at one point, they wanted to see God. And God said, okay, you come, but don't come near to this mountain. Just, and when they saw the tendering and all that, they said, hey, please, we are not going. And Moses had to plead on their behalf. So it was a time of seeing the exploits, the nature of God, the power of God and everything in their life, which was good. But it was there. They realized, hey, Moses, this guy Moses, what is happening to him up the mountains there? And then they convinced the priest Aaron and said, Aaron, you know, we have earrings and all that. Let's put them together and make a god for ourselves. Remember that? It happened at the same place. And so God comes and says, you've stayed too long here. You must move. You must move. It's time to move. This mountain, you've stayed around it. In fact, Zechariah uses mountain to determine things that are problems. The governor of Israel at that time, his name is Zerubbabel. And if you read Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel and said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become plain. And it goes on. This is a mountain that will become a problem. It's preventing you from... So it signifies sometimes problems that will come through. And you know, sometimes problem will make you stay in one place and you don't want to move. Because you're afraid that, hey, what else is there? I'm not going. And you keep there. If we remember the disciples, one day Jesus took them to the mountain. You remember that? The transfiguration. Ooh, what a wonder. And if you read it in Luke, I like the Luke version of it. Luke chapter 9, verse 28 says, now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered. And his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but they became fully awake and saw his glory, and the two who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents. For the first time, he's not even thinking about himself. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. And he was saying these things, a crowd came. And as he was saying these things, a crowd came and overshadowed them. And they were afraid as they entered the crowd. Brothers and sisters, Peter, James, and John wanted to be there. They wanted to make it their comfort zone because it's nice. Brothers, sometimes when the Lord is blessing us and we see the power of God, it can even be miracles that are happening. That can become a stumbling block for you moving. You become so comfortable. That's how life is. You become so comfortable. I don't know if this is the chair that was here last week. But I sat here. And each one of you, you see, it happened. It's part of life. We're just reminding you. You have your spot, isn't it? And if I come and sit here, I feel a bit, it's not the same. Even though we could have moved the same chair here, but having it here is not the same as having it that side. We become comfortable with things, successes. I've got 5 vehicles. I've done this. I've got this degree. And that it can become a stumbling block from you moving on. You become so comfortable with these little things. There's a higher thing ahead of you that God wants to do. And so he's reminding them, it's time to move. It's time to move. What is preventing you, my brother? What is preventing you, my sister, from making a move in the Lord? You see, there are times we can always remember the glories of the past. What God did 2 years ago, what God did 5 years ago, 20 years ago, and all that. I like that. But it's supposed not to make you become comfortable and sit at where you are. Because you are no longer at the same place. 20 years ago, I was in Ghana or somewhere. So it's not the same thing here. What is God doing now? That's the key thing. Am I allowing myself to be used by God here at this time? That's the challenge. And so Moses is reminding them that God has something better for you. You know, don't just glory in the past and stay there. Move forward. I like David. When he met Goliath, he drew from the past. Oh, I remember you that day when the lion came and took my sheep. I ran after it and I killed it. Hey, another time a bear was coming. Oh, I pounced on it and killed it. If God has helped me to kill the lion and the bear, he will do the same with this Goliath. And he moved forward. Amen. It's time to move. It's time to move. God wants to do something marvelous in your life. Don't be too comfortable with where you are. Because the Lord saved us to take us from one degree of glory to the next. You are staying so long in this glory. There's more here for you and for me. And in this church, God is doing a new thing. Are you part of it? Are you doing it? And the Lord will do that for you. What is your mountain that is making you afraid or comfortable to move on? Even if it is sin. Sin comes our way all the time. We should not be overtaken by sin. Have you ever seen a guy in a beautiful white shirt and he slips down and he says, oh, now that I'm here, let me just wallow in this. No, it doesn't happen. Immediately you get up and you check around. In fact, you check around and see, and you clean it and off you go. That's what God expects of each one of us. But some of us, when the devil comes and tricks us and we get into sin, we want to stay there and enjoy it. Why do you want to do that? And you stay in that level. And sometimes you even go down. Look, God says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Look, we are not faithful. Sometimes because we are not faithful, we think God is unfaithful. God is always faithful. He says, if we confess, that's what we don't do. Today, we Christians, we just pray. We don't even confess. Yeah, sometimes we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. What you've convinced me of, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. If we confess, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. And so please, let's not allow sin to overtake us. Yes, we all sin. But we will not allow it to overtake us. We just need to go to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. And he will help you. In fact, the word of God says that sometimes also, he comes to reprimand us. He disciplines us for our own good so that we can move on. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 says, consider him who endured the sin from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary and or faint-hearted. In our struggle against sin, we have not yet resisted to the point of shedding our blood or shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? He says, my son or my daughter, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Amen. If you have a father, and today, a lot of people, and I must say it with shame, I'm not saying punish, do not discipline their own children. I will never forget, there was when Gateway School started, when Defat was the principal, and one day she was addressing the parents, and she said something that has stuck with me. She says, in our world today, we rear children. You know, in those days, we used to rear chicken. You just give them food. You rear them, and you are not concerned about what happens. You just give them food and do all they go and all that. These days, sometimes children, even food is a problem. Yes. We don't care where they are. But he said, we rear children and we discipline or train dogs. Can you imagine that? We train dog. So if you say, hey, pussy, quiet. But if there's fire and the dog is running near the fire and you say, hey, dog, stop, the dog will stop. Your child is going near the fire and you say, Johnny, stop. Johnny is going because he doesn't know what means stop. The Lord disciplines us. You know, the word disciple, the world, the disciples of Jesus, it comes from discipline. You can never be a disciple if you are not disciplined. And so sometimes God disciplines us. God helps us so that we get the best in life. If you're not disciplined, even in school, if you're not disciplined with your books, and you are just going, partying, doing this, you think the results will come. You will see what you get at the end of the term. But if you are disciplined and say, yeah, there's time for watching this and time, but this time for studies, you go ahead. Children of God, people of God, God is moving us on. God is moving us on. And he doesn't want anything to come our way. I don't know your situation. What is keeping you stay that long at the mountain? What is the mountain that is causing you to be comfortable in wherever you are? We need to come to Jesus. The reason why I'm preaching this morning is about a month ago, in our workplace in Community Care Project CCP, we invited someone to come and preach. And he came and preached from the book of Deuteronomy. And he was preaching about the word of God saying that it's in your heart, it's not across the seas that you cannot go for it. And that evening, we had a prayer meeting with Brother Sinatra. We were just praying together. And he picks the Bible and he opens at Deuteronomy. Ish, what's happening here? And he read this. And as he was reading this, I said, oh my God, God, you are speaking to me. I want to read the book of Deuteronomy and see what is there. And I picked the Bible and I started reading. And I got to chapter 2 again of Deuteronomy. And I said, no, God, you are speaking to me and I believe you have a word for your people. Chapter 2, listen to this. It says, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. And the Lord told me, and for many days we traveled around Mount Seir. Then the Lord said to me, you have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Can you see that? This time in circles. Going around the mountain in circles. And God says, it's too much. Brothers, then I realized that, look, God doesn't want us to stay in a place too long. He has something for us. Even here. So I said, Lord, there are so many things that I keep postponing. I keep saying. And at that time, even with the youth, we had started because God has told us, even in this church, long time ago, about the youth. And personally, on my heart, the Lord laid that I need to work with the young people. And so we started doing what we call GPS, which has been a blessing. And then about some 3-4 months ago, God said we need to start a service for the young people. And, you know, we come here and we just dancing and all that. Then when this word came to me, I realized that, look, we are wasting time. We are wasting God's time. God wants us to move. Maybe there's a young person sitting somewhere that God wants to save, and we are playing drums here. And so I discussed with the guys and said, look, we are going to start. And I was overwhelmed. I was blown away by the excitement of the young people. And last week, those of you who were here, you saw how the music went and how they were leading us. We want to thank God for that. And we have agreed. And as we said in the announcement, in 2 weeks' time, on the 23rd, of October, we want to start the first service for young people. Amen. Then I went to see, there's something that has been on my heart for many years. I used to work in Zambia, and one of the things I used to do was to keep chickens. And, you know, so when I came to South Africa, I said, no, we need to teach people how to keep chickens and all that. So I even told my principal, and it didn't work for years. And this year, I felt it's time to start it and teach people and all that. I built a house and left. No, I said, no, it's winter, all that. And I left. But when God spoke to me about this, I said, no, I need to make a move. That very day, I went to where they sell chickens. And I said, can you give me chickens? They said, no, you can get it on Thursday. Oh, I want it now. No, you can't get it. And I placed order for it. Can you believe that the chickens are now big? It's happening. Amen. What I'm trying to say to us is that if God has put something on our hearts, this is the time. Let's move. It's time to move. It's time to move. What is it that God has put on your heart? Whatever is preventing you, we need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, we need your help this morning. I don't want to stay on this mountain any longer. I want to move with you. And God is going to help us. Brothers and sisters, when God's word comes, it comes for a purpose. And I believe, even in our church here, there have been a lot of prophecies that have come to us about what God is about to do and what God is doing. And some of us, we take hold of it. After 1 week, we let go. It's about time we say, Lord, I want you to help me. I want to make a move. Maybe there's something that you know. You know what is preventing you from moving on. You know it. You know it. You know it. And say, Lord, I want to leave it to you this morning. Lord, I want to leave it to you. Maybe you are here, you don't know Jesus. And every time something comes, you know, you can do it tomorrow. You can do it the next. It's time to move. You need Jesus in your life. And I want us to pray that God will do something wonderful in our life. Shall we all stand together this morning?